I want you to just imagine for a second staring down an absolute financial tsunami.
Oh, yeah. A massive one.
Right. Because we are looking at this space where global assets under management, like the total amount of money these wealth firms actually control, is projected to jump from $139 trillion today to roughly $200 trillion by 2030.
Which is just an ocean of new capital.
It's incomprehensible. But here's the wild part. Why are profit margins in total freefall?
Yeah, it's a huge problem.
I mean, per dollar managed, margins have already dropped like 19% since 2018. Mm. The industry is getting richer in scale, but, you know, way poorer in actual profit.
And if they do absolute nothing, like if they just keep their current operational models, those margins are projected to fall another 9% by 2030.
Wow.
Yeah, you could see firm profitability slide from a really healthy 35% down to 25%. We're witnessing this fundamental break in the old equation, you know, the one where sheer growth just automatically translated into bottom line profit.
Right. The math just doesn't work anymore.
Exactly. It completely breaks down.
Which is exactly why we're doing this deep dive today. We are unpacking some incredibly fascinating source material on the future of behavioral AI in wealth management.
It's such a critical topic right now.
It really is. Because the entire finance industry is sort of waking up to this fairly brutal reality.
Yeah.
Just crunching the numbers. That's no longer enough to justify their fees.
Not even close.
If they want to survive this massive margin compression, they had to decode human behavior.
And I mean, it represents a massive pivot for them. There's this quote in the material from Jason Wenk, he's the CEO of Altruist, that acts as like the perfect philosophical anchor for everything we're going to talk about.
Oh, I love this quote. Go ahead.
He says, AI is not here to make humans unnecessary. It's here to make them unstoppable.
Unstoppable. I really want you to keep that quote in mind as you listen to this deep dive.
Yeah, definitely.
Because whether you're managing a multi-billion dollar fund or, you know, you're just trying to figure out why you always panic sell your 401k when the market takes a dip.
Which we all do, by the way.
Right? We all do it. But this conversation is going to map out those invisible forces driving your financial decisions. So let's start with this profitability paradox.
Okay, let's do it.
Why didn't the first wave of artificial intelligence fix this margin issue? I mean, we've had algorithmic trading and robo-advisors for, what, a decade now?
Well, it really comes down to what that first wave of tech was actually built to solve. The research calls this the quanta trap.
The quanta trap.
Yeah. Over the last 10 or 15 years, the industry basically conquered the math problem. They built these incredibly sophisticated systems.
Not for like portfolio construction.
Exactly. Portfolio construction, automatic rebalancing, tax loss harvesting. They completely automated the quantitative side of finance.
But they missed something.
They completely missed the behavioral side. I mean, they built systems that perfectly understand markets, but systems that are totally, completely blind to how a human being actually interacts with their money.
Okay, let's unpack this, because it sounds like we spent billions of dollars building a supercomputer to optimize our tax brackets, but we just forgot to program in the fact that humans are, you know, irrational, emotional creatures.
Oh, 100%.
Like, we freak out when we read a scary headline. It's like relying on static financial data is like trying to drive a car by only looking at the rearview mirror and the speedometer.
That's a great way to put it.
Right. It tells you how fast you went, but it tells you absolutely nothing about the driver's reflexes when, like, a deer jumps out in the road.
Precisely. And to this day, the vast majority of these wealth management firms, they operate on these really static KYC profiles. Know your customer.
Oh, yeah. The basic intake forms.
Right. They rely heavily on backward-looking data and these generic demographic buckets. They know your age, your zip code, what your risk tolerance quiz said 5 years ago.
And what stocks you bought last quarter.
Exactly. But that data, it's entirely commoditized now. Every firm has it. You cannot charge premium fees just for having that basic data.
Well, yeah. And if these early AI models are trained strictly on that demographic data, aren't they just optimizing for statistical averages?
Yes.
And nobody is average when it comes to their life savings.
That is the core flaw of the quanta trap right there. If we connect this to the bigger picture, just think about two hypothetical people living in the exact same suburban neighborhood.
Right.
They're the same age. They work in similar industries. They have the exact same bank balance.
Yeah.
On a spreadsheet, their financial data is identical.
Basically clones on paper.
Exactly. But the moment a massive, totally unexpected market crash happens, they are going to have wildly different neurological and emotional reaction.
Right. Like one person might see a 20% drop, feel this massive adrenaline rush, and immediately want to buy the dip because they see a bargain.
Yeah. While the person living right next door to them might be like physically paralyzed by anxiety,
losing sleep,
frantically calling their advisor to liquidate everything into cash at literally the exact wrong moment,
which locks in the losses.
Exactly. The first wave of quantitative AI completely missed this individual decision behavior. It ignored the emotional triggers and the trust styles that actually dictate whether a person generates long-term wealth or, you know, destroys it in a panic.
Which means if the industry wants to solve this profitability crisis, they have to go deeper.
Much deeper.
They have to transition from quantifying the hard numerical math to quantifying the qualia.
The qualia, yeah.
Which is the actual messy lived human experience of managing money.
And that introduces us to this incredible concept in the material, the behavioral iceberg.
The iceberg. I love this visual.
It's so accurate because when an advisor looks at a client today, they are really only seeing about 10% of the actionable data.
Just the tip.
Right. That visible 10% above the water, that's the demographics, the portfolio holdings, maybe major life events like getting married or retiring.
Basically all the stuff that fits neatly into a standard CRM platform.
Exactly. But a massive 90% of the data that actually dictates that client's financial destiny is totally hidden below the surface.
So what's in that 90%?
Oh, it's everything that matters. It's this invisible data, like their instinctive risk posture, their natural decision-making speed.
Like how fast they pull the trigger on a choice.
Exactly. Plus their communication preferences, their physiological response to market volatility, and even biological longevity expectations.
Wait, hold on. I get why that 90% is so important, but practically speaking, how on earth do you reliably measure it?
That's the million-dollar question.
Because you can't just expect a high-net-worth individual to sit down in your office and fill out some 500-question psychological personality exam before you agree to manage their money.
No, they'd walk right out the door.
The friction there is enormous. People hate taking surveys.
You are touching on the exact barrier that held this whole industry back for decades. But what's fascinating here is how modern technology has essentially eliminated that friction entirely. The research outlines this framework developed by a company called DNA Behavior. They utilize what they call a DNA digital scan, and it relies on open source large language models, LLMs, to map personality and decision-making styles passively.
Passively, like without the client actually doing anything differently.
Exactly. They don't fill out a single form. The AI is trained to analyze the digital exhaust a client is already creating every day.
Digital exhaust.
Yeah. It evaluates the syntax and the tone of their existing email communications with their advisor. It looks at their micro behaviors during the digital onboarding process.
Okay. Give me an example of a micro behavior. Because how does an algorithm deduce my deeply held risk posture from an email or a portal login? That sounds like a massive leap.
It sounds like magic, but it's really all about frequency, context, and linguistic framing.
Okay.
So let's say the S&P 500 drops by like 1.5% on a random Tuesday. The AI notices that client A logs into their portfolio portal 14 times that day.
14 times, that's a lot.
Right. They linger on the performance tab, but they never actually execute a trade. And it also analyzes the short email they send their advisor, just asking, hey, are we sure about our exposure here?
So the AI flags them as high anxiety, highly analytical, but maybe prone to analysis paralysis.
Exactly. Meanwhile, you've got client B, who has the exact same portfolio size, but they don't log in at all during that market dip.
They just ignore it.
Yeah. And when they do finally email the advisor, maybe 3 weeks later, the language is entirely focused on long-term family goals, not daily market movements.
Wow.
The LLM translates these thousands of tiny little data points into a deeply accurate psychometric profile. It completely removes the friction of a formal assessment.
Yeah, it is wild.
And when you start fusing that digital behavioral map with biometric tooling like, say, data legally opted in from health wearables that tracks heart rate spikes during market alerts, you are building an incredibly profound identity layer.
So if I'm getting this right, we are shifting from this old model of having a giant database of financial data with just a thin, generic human layer slapped onto it.
Right.
To having a massive database of human behavioral data with a financial layer just resting on top.
That is the paradigm shift perfectly summarized. behavioral data becomes the persistent core identity of the client.
It's the foundation.
Yes. It feeds everything else, the marketing algorithms, the risk analysis software, the portfolio construction engines.
So what does this all mean for the actual human beings involved?
Well, it changes everything for them.
Let's talk about the day-to-day reality of wealth management. If we now possess this frictionless, highly detailed behavioral profile, what exactly is the human advisor actually doing? How does their job change?
It radically redefines their daily reality. Historically, an advisor added value by being what the research calls an information provider.
Like a gatekeeper of financial knowledge.
Exactly. They spent 80% of their week just gathering data, synthesizing market research, running compliance checks, and pushing product knowledge onto the client.
But the material we're reviewing today confirms that intelligent automation is already absorbing all those operational tasks.
Well, almost entirely.
Which really begs the question. If the AI is doing the analysis, building the portfolio, and monitoring the market, what is the human advisor doing to earn their 1% fee?
They are transitioning to a model based entirely on connection intelligence.
Connection intelligence.
You're right. The human advisor's job is no longer to just beat an index fund. Their job is to read behavioral signals, restore trust when the client is panicking, and seamlessly align complex portfolios with deeply personal life goals.
Keeping them on track.
Exactly. Ensuring that opportunities aren't squandered just because of emotional paralysis.
I want to ground this in a real-world scenario because the source material gives this staggering example of a massive firm. Let's just call it the Financial Lifestyle RIA.
Oh, this is a great example.
They have 100,000 households under management and only 500 advisors. Now, traditionally at that scale, personalization is just an illusion.
Yeah, it's a mail-merged quarterly newsletter with your first name auto-filled at the top.
Exactly. Dear client.
But that is exactly where the AI copilot steps in. This firm built a behavioral AI recommendation engine called Lighthouse Insights.
Lighthouse Insights.
Yeah, and this isn't just an email marketing tool. It's practically an operational nervous system for the firm. The AI continuously monitors the behavioral signals across all 100,000 households in real time.
All of them, all the time.
Yes. It's analyzing those login behaviors, the cash accumulation in checking accounts, the shifts in market anxiety we just talked about.
And crucially, it doesn't just ping the advisor with some generic alert saying, hey, client X looks nervous, maybe give him a call.
Far from it. The AI actually pre-drafts highly tailored communication based on that specific client's DNA behavior profile.
Unbelievable.
Let's say the market experiences a severe correction. For a client who has a highly analytical, data-driven decision style, the AI drafts an email for the advisor that leans heavily into historical charts, standard deviation metrics, logical risk assessment.
It speaks their language.
Exactly. It gives them the data they need to feel secure.
And for a different client.
Yeah.
Say someone totally opposite.
For a client who is highly relational, perhaps motivated primarily by family security and legacy, the AI drafts a completely different message.
Interesting.
It de-emphasizes the raw data entirely and focuses on the long-term safety of their children's trust funds and the historical resilience of the broader economy.
Wow.
The AI operates as a digital twin of the advisor. It does all the heavy cognitive lifting, which frees the human advisor up to actually get on the phone and just provide empathy.
It's basically like a doctor managing a massive medical practice.
Yeah, perfect analogy.
Instead of handing the exact same generic photocopied diet pamphlet to 100 different patients, this AI acts like a brilliant nurse practitioner. It reviews a patient's specific blood work, notes their genetic history, flags an impending blood pressure spike, and then hands the doctor the exact customized treatment plan before the doctor even walks into the exam room.
Yes, exactly.
The AI diagnoses the behavioral risk, but the human doctor actually delivers the care.
That is spot on. And the operational outcome of this is just staggering. Under the old model, maybe 20% of a firm's ultra-wealthy clients got 80% of the personalized attention.
Right. The whale clients get the calls.
Exactly. But with this behavioral architecture, a firm can deliver near-total personalization to 98% of their clients, regardless of their account size.
Which brings us to the actual business case for all this. Because this level of extreme customized connection intelligence sounds incredible for the client. Yeah. But let's be real. These wealth firms aren't rolling out complex AI just to be friendly.
Oh, definitely not.
There is a hard, measurable return on investment here.
The financial incentives are absolutely massive. Firms that deploy these behavioral insights are seeing a 5 to 15% revenue lift simply by reducing client churn.
Because the clients feel understood.
Exactly. And because they understand the client better from day one, they see a 50% reduction in client acquisition costs.
50%? That's massive.
It gets better. There's a 23% revenue lift in specific behavioral deployments. And on the operational side, by centralizing these insights and removing the manual drafting of all those emails and reports, firms are unlocking 12 to 18 hours a week of pure capacity for their advisors.
I mean, think about what you could do with an extra 18 hours a week.
Right. It's game-changing.
And a huge portion of that revenue retention comes from this concept called behavioral alpha. I really think this is one of the most critical ideas in the research.
I agree. It really raises this important question. How do we actually define the value of financial advice today? Behavioral alpha is the measurable financial value of keeping a client disciplined over a long horizon.
Keeping them from making a huge mistake.
Exactly. It's using AI to detect vulnerability before the mistake happens. Imagine an elderly client who historically logs in maybe once a month.
Okay.
Suddenly, they are logging in daily and initiating large, completely unexplained cash transfers. The AI detects this behavioral anomaly instantly and flags it as potential elder abuse or a wire fraud scam.
Wow. So the advisor intervenes proactively, freezing the account before the life savings are wired to a scammer in another country.
Precisely.
That isn't just good customer service. That is catastrophic risk mitigation.
It really is.
And if this technology is so good at preventing an individual from making a terrible decision, how does it handle the infinitely more volatile dynamic of an entire family trying to manage money together?
Oh, family dynamics. That's the ultimate test.
Right, because we are standing on the precipice of the great wealth transfer. We're talking about roughly $60 trillion moving from baby boomers to their heirs over the next two decades.
It's the biggest wealth transfer in history.
And it seems to me the biggest risk to that wealth isn't a bad stock pick. It's family drama at the Thanksgiving table.
That is a very real and very expensive threat. The research explicitly identifies family behavioral misalignment as the primary reason wealth doesn't survive a generational transfer.
Makes sense.
Different generations inherently possess completely different risk attitudes and entirely different core values around capital.
Yeah, for sure.
If an advisor treats a 30-year-old tech founder heir the exact same way they treated their 80-year-old industrialist grandfather, that advisor is going to be fired the minute the estate settles.
So how does behavioral AI navigate the Thanksgiving dinner chaos?
By mapping the entire ecosystem of the family.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the AI analyzes the collective decision-making styles of the family unit as a whole. It tells the advisor exactly how the matriarch needs to structure her estate conversations to avoid triggering defensiveness in a grandson who has a vastly different communication style.
That is brilliant.
It reduces friction by translating financial realities into the specific behavioral language each family member naturally understands.
And I imagine if you can use this tech to map the hidden psychology of a family, you can use it to map the wealth management firms themselves, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The applications for internal team building are profound. Instead of just throwing two advisors together on a major account because they happen to have open bandwidth, a firm can use AI to build complementary teams based on cognitive diversity.
Right, like pairing up different strengths.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You pair a highly analytical, introverted financial planner with a highly relational, extroverted business development partner.
A perfect match.
And then you assign that specific team to a client whose behavioral profile actually demands both deep data analysis and high-touch emotional support. The research indicates this kind of behavioral pairing can improve team effectiveness by up to 70%.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though.
Oh, definitely.
Up to this point in our deep dive, we've focused entirely on using AI to analyze the behavior of the investor-like, the client, the family, the advisor. But the research flips this entirely on its head in the final second.
It's my favorite part of the material.
What happens when you point behavioral AI at the investments themselves?
This is the frontier they are calling investment management 2.0. As we established earlier, quantitative analysis is heavily commoditized now.
Right. Everyone has the same balance sheets.
Everyone has the balance sheets, the satellite imagery of retail parking lots, the macroeconomic models. High-frequency algorithms literally price that data into a stock in milliseconds.
So the math edge is gone.
Exactly. So where do you find a unique advantage? You find it by analyzing the leadership behavior of the actual human beings running the companies.
Wait. How does an algorithm actually measure something like stress resilience in a Fortune 500 CEO?
Yeah.
I mean, we aren't strapping these executives to heart monitors during their board meetings.
No, but they are producing a massive amount of digital exhaust themselves. AI can ingest a decade's worth of quarterly earnings calls, public interviews, and shareholder letters.
Okay.
And these natural language processing algorithms look for linguistic micro shifts. Like, how does a CEO's syntax change when an analyst asks an unexpectedly hostile question about supply chain failures?
Do they become defensive and evasive, or do they remain logically structured and transparent?
Exactly. It's looking at their historical behavior under pressure. It correlates their linguistic and behavioral patterns against their historical capital allocation during macroeconomic downturn.
That is mind-blowing.
The AI maps the entire C-suite for goal orientation, fiscal prudence, and their posture on innovation. If the AI detects that a company's leadership team has a deeply ingrained behavioral bias towards short-term thinking.
Like maybe they heavily favor stock buybacks over R&D during stressful quarters.
Yes, that becomes a predictive data point for their future stock performance.
That is a total paradigm shift. We are moving away from simply asking, what product is this company making, to asking, who are the human beings we are investing behind, and how do their brains actually process chaos?
It changes the whole game.
You could construct entirely new exchange-traded funds like new ETFs based purely on the algorithmic behavioral resilience of the executive teams.
And that is exactly where institutional asset management is heading right now. Manager selection, due diligence, portfolio construction behavior is becoming the unified theory of value creation.
It really is the common denominator.
It drives whether a client stays invested, whether an advisor builds trust, whether a leadership team navigates a crisis, and ultimately whether an investment generates true alpha.
Okay, let's bring all these threads together. The grand synthesis of this entire behavioral revolution we've been unpacking is that the wealth management industry is experiencing a massive, necessary evolutionary leap.
A leap they have to make to survive.
Right. For 50 years, they measured their success solely by AUM assets under management. The immediate next phase is transitioning to behavior under management.
Yeah.
But the ultimate destination, like the holy grail they're building toward, is something called HLEV, or Human Lifetime Economic Value.
And the strategic actionable takeaway for anyone in this industry is remarkably efficient. The data suggests that by redirecting just 10% of an organization's technology and infrastructure budget toward behavioral data and AI enablement,
Just 10%.
Firms can successfully activate that 90% of human decision drivers that have historically been totally invisible. You don't have to reinvent the market. You just have to illuminate the psychology of the people participating in it.
AI doesn't replace the human advisor. It acts as an amplifier for their empathy and strategic judgment.
It makes them unstoppable.
Which leaves us with one incredibly provocative final thought for you, the listener. The research touches on this idea that in the near future, when you perfectly combine open source AI, continuous biometric health tracking, and precise longevity models, algorithms will be able to accurately calculate a person's true human lifetime economic value, their HLEV.
It's intense to think about.
Just imagine that for a second. If a machine intelligence becomes so profoundly advanced that it can map your exact financial trajectory based on your deepest psychological quirks, your daily stress levels, your impulse control, and your exact expected lifespan, what happens the day you are allowed to log in and see your own score?
Wow.
If an algorithm knows your financial destiny better than you know yourself, does seeing that number fundamentally change how you choose to live your life? Or does seeing it just guarantee that the algorithm's prophecy comes true? Something to think about the next time you feel a sudden emotional urge to move your money around.